Hi, you're listening to the Clumsy Grace podcast, and today I'm speaking specifically to those of you incredible women out there who are small business owners, restaurateurs, offline contractors, or salespeople who are responsible for your own business development and marketing. I'm talking brick and mortar shop owners, retailers, accountants, realtors, insurance brokers, babes who are in finance, banking, investing, mortgage brokers, and anyone else who has ever asked herself the questions, is the social marketing game really for me if my business is offline as opposed to hashtag location free, i.e. you don't have yourself any poolside pics in Bali with your laptop to share? If so, if it is for me, what the hell do I do with it? How do I maximize my tiny ad budget or my $0 ad budget? And what would I even post? All that being said, this episode has so much interesting stuff in it that you'll definitely want to stick around if you're an online or service-based entrepreneur as well. This is the marketing of the now. It's not even the future. It's not a trend. It's here to stay. And I want you to maximize it in your business. I want you to take what you learn here today and create more revenue for yourself, serve more people, maybe hire more staff, take care of yourself better. In my opinion, after, 10 years of marketing, this is the key. And I want to give you that key. Today's episode is brought to you by my flagship digital course, Better Boundaries. Improve every relationship, including the one with yourself. Boss ladies need boundaries, sis. You can check it out at clumsygrace-university.teachable.com, along with the staple of all my digital courses, including Market Your Magic and Techie Business Stuff for creative women who hate techie business stuff. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Clumsy Grace podcast. I'm your host, Erin McDonald. My therapist says I'm an enthusiastic overreactor, and more than one of my friends has suggested that I write a book about my awkward encounters with other humans. This podcast is for you if you are a woman or identify as such who's in small, micro, or home-based business, who is a hobbypreneur or an on or offline service provider, an ambitious employee, but you feel left out of the entire narrative of business, either because you're a woman, because you possess of one of the many marginalized voices in society, because you don't have an ad budget, because you're a mom, because you're not a mom, because you do more work from the floor of your walk-in than from a beach in Hawaii. Here's what I know. You do not need another coach showing you views of a beach you're not lying on. If you're here, it's because you need someone who is intimately acquainted with the trench you're currently in. Someone who's here to help you claw your way back to the joy of purpose and service. Let me tell you something about myself. I do not get blowouts every week. It would be a stretch to say that I regularly wash my hair. I've made every mistake and found my power in humbling myself rather than cowering in shame. I have a writing degree, a background in insurance marketing. I often say that if I can make insurance sexy, I can market literally anything. I have a passion for helping women like you find your voice and create real solutions that derive real improvements in revenue, efficiency, and the way your business feels to you. I'm obsessed with boundaries and self-care. You'll hear me talk about these topics because I think they need to be emphasized when we're talking about women in business. I'm obsessed with dismantling the patriarchy and white supremacy. I'm obsessed with tacos, Harry Potter, and kitchen dance parties. I'm an extrovert with social anxiety, and I'm so here to watch you succeed by your own definition. Thank you for joining me. I promise to be as authentic as I can be. I promise to call myself out when I mess up and to always have your back. You can be yourself here, clumsy and graceful. Enjoy the show. All right, so in this episode, I really, really want to talk about something that has been on my mind a lot lately, that I've been having a lot of conversations with individual female business owners about a lot lately, and that is why every single woman entrepreneur, any entrepreneur, in my opinion, needs to be thinking about long game social marketing. And I want to talk a bit about what you can post. So, even if you're in a market where you think you have nothing interesting to say online, or you're like, okay, I'm competing in a local market, why do I need to use internet marketing to reach my customer base? They're still reading newspapers or listening to local radio. I'm going to talk about that. I want you to know that this is a necessity, even if you're not a business owner, but you're responsible for your own sales and business development. Like, for example, you might be a realtor or a mortgage broker or an insurance salesperson who is responsible for your sales and business development, but you don't own the company. I want to talk about why I think social marketing is even more important than web development. I know this is not a super popular opinion. It's my opinion, and I'm going to talk about it. And it's based on research. I want to talk about why this can help you smash your business goals, even if you have a zero ad budget, even especially if you have a zero ad budget. And I want to talk about what you can share online to maximize this social marketing game. Okay, so hold tight. We're going to dive in. All right, so you wouldn't need to Google very deeply to find stats to support the idea that social marketing is, like I said, it's the now. It's not the later. It's not the maybe future. It's happening right around us now. And what that means is that if you are lucky and savvy enough to be in a market where social marketing is still underutilized, you have an opportunity to be at the forefront of this. That's why I speak so passionately about it right now, because I right now am at sort of not the tail end, I'm at the saturation point of my personal industry. So I work in the online coaching industry, or I have for the last several years, and I make digital courses and I'm passionate about it, but everybody and their dog is an online coach right now. If I had started in 2008, 2009, I'm convinced that I would not be recording this from my walk-in right now. But I love it enough that I'm going to stick with it and I'm going to rise above the masses. That's cool. But if you are in one of these industries that I've been talking about today, if you're in one of these industries that's not yet capitalizing on social media marketing as part of your business plan, you have such an opportunity here to get out ahead of this. Okay, so firstly, I want to talk about, what do I mean when I say social marketing? My notes here say, I want you to kind of make your life into The Office. Which is, I'm sort of being cheeky, but I'm also sort of not, because if you think about the premise of The Office, I'm talking about the American version. These are just like regular people who work in a paper company. And what makes them interesting is that you're observing them. People are really voyeuristic. So what I want you to do when I say social marketing is I want you to let people know you and your brand. I want you, social marketing means you show up for your audience. They can depend on your presence. You authentically and ethically provide value for them regularly, which is good for literally everybody. That's good for them. That's good for you. It's good for everybody. Now, I'm not saying that you need to air all your dirty laundry. I personally probably share more than a lot of people are comfortable sharing. And that speaks to my constantly feeling like I need to out myself for the weird shit that I do. But what I mean is you show up as the real you regularly, your real business, your real employees, regularly online. You engage with the people who are consuming that content. You find out what they're into, what they're about, what their struggles are. You help them solve their problems. That's what I mean when I say social marketing. So here's the thing. I know you hate marketing. Women hate marketing. That's a broad generalization. But in general, women hate marketing. I've talked to hundreds, maybe even thousands of women business owners who sincerely do want to make more money in their business. And their reasons for wanting to make more money are above board, ethical, and service-based. They want to make more money to care for their family, to care for their staff, to provide things like medical benefits and do a better job of serving their clients. They want to invest back in their businesses and their communities, but they hate asking for money. They hate sales. And they think that marketing exclusively consists of asking for the sale all day, every day in tricky, slimy ways. Listen, that's a thing. It's a valid, legitimate concern. But that is short game marketing. And in my opinion, short game marketing, its time has come and gone. It's over. And you'll probably still see people doing it. That's the kind of sales that makes you feel gross. That's the kind of people who intimidate and pressure and use things like neuro-linguistic programming to get a sale without really caring about whether someone can afford to buy the car, whether there's an actual human living in the house that you're trying to sell. And I know that you're never going to be that person, but there is still marketing for you and your business. So, like I said, if I'd started a business in 2009 when no one was posting anything business related, I could have made a killing. But shoppers and viewers of online content are savvier now and they smell an ask coming. They are wary of it. But the great thing about long game approach to your marketing, to your social marketing, is that you don't need to ask for the sale in order to create more revenue in your business. Maybe even ever. You may never have to ask for a sale. If you're a brick and mortar business, you could have an entire social marketing plan that doesn't ever say, give me your money. This is why I am so obsessed with speaking to you, the realtor, the small shop owner, the mortgage broker, because you are in an unsaturated market. Very few of your peers at a local level are using this process that I'm about to describe to its full advantage. Trust me. If you do, if you take this process, if you make it your own, if you run with it, you will be one of the first geniuses. And if you don't, you probably will wish you had at some point. I'm not trying to freak you out, but this is what consumers expect of the brands that they work with. By now, most people, most business owners don't need to be convinced that the internet is here to stay, but very, very few, especially brick and mortar businesses, are maxing it out to the effectiveness that they could be. So I want to share a super easy process for long game ethical marketing that will increase awareness of your business. It'll make it really doable to achieve your business goals. Now, I just want to emphasize that it's going to be hard to measure the return on investment for this, but there is one. And further to that, if you're not doing this at a certain point, your peers, your colleagues, your competitors are going to get on board with this. And you probably will wish you had at some point. So what I really recommend is for you to grab a pen and a piece of paper or open a Word document. I'm going to ask some questions and it'll benefit you if you jot down some answers to it. Cool? Okay. All right. So step number one, I want you to look at what are your business goals. Okay. So like I said, at the end of the last segment, long game ethical marketing, social marketing, and I consider all marketing to be social nowadays. I'm going to get into that in just a minute. It will make it really, really doable to achieve your goals, especially on a low ad budget. I mean, if you've got an ad budget, maybe I'll do a new episode on where I think it would be really, really cool for you to throw your ad dollars. But right now we're talking about like free or cheap. Okay. And also this is a good approach to take for any of your existing offline marketing approaches as well. Okay. So yes, it will make it more doable for you to achieve your business goals, but do you have business goals? When I first started my business, I didn't even have business goals. And if you don't, that's fine. If you do, have you reviewed them recently? It's not going to hurt you to write them down. So, okay, cool. You want to increase your revenue. Do you have a percentage? Do you have an idea of, you know, how many bottles of nail polish you would need to sell, or how many accounting packages you would need to sell in order to hit that revenue goal? Do you have a profit goal? Do you have like what are your business goals? Do you have them? Are you swinging wildly in the dark? Okay, so I want you to consider why you're posting something before you ever, like maybe you're already posting. Chances are you have a business Facebook page and you maybe like sporadically post if it's like a pretty day out and your flowers look nice or whatever. But behind your posting, you should be aware of what your business goals are. Okay. So, maybe your business goal is to make more sales. Maybe you want to create more of a certain feeling within your business. Maybe you don't want to get shopped on renewal. Okay. I was an insurance broker for several years, and that feeling of like a longtime client who's like, oh, I'm going out to bid for this renewal, kind of a gross feeling, because then you know you're competing at renewal on price, and you know that chances are really good you're going to have to cut commission or really grind your underwriters in order to get the rates that are going to be competitive, right? If you want brand loyalty and awareness, that's like a really great goal. If you want to create collaborations with other local businesses, if you want to drive traffic to your online store, or if you're just like too freaking busy, right? If you're like, I don't even want more clients, I want to bring in, you know, a really aligned staff that will help me hit my next business goal. If your goal is to scale your business or franchise your business, it's going to be really helpful to know that. So, speaking of swinging in the dark, has your social strategy up until now been a bit of a flail? The next step in this process, feel free to pause and go back or jot down the questions and come back to them later. But speaking of swinging in the dark, do you flail with your social media strategy? Is there no strategy at all? Is it just that you like, you know that you should have an Instagram page, but you don't have like your hashtag strategy worked out, or you don't have, you have a Facebook business page, like I said, but you're not really posting on it regularly. What I really want you to look at right now is, what's the point? This speaks to your goals, right? What is your intention? What is your mission statement? Again, creating more of a like a good feeling around your brand, brand loyalty and awareness. Those things, right? Like having people, the know, like, and trust factor is so overused in online business because it's true. Because you're less likely to get shopped at renewal if you have built a loyal following, if you've built loyalty with someone. And it is so easy and free to do this with your social media strategy, right? So all of these things, all of these goals will eventually contribute to more sales or to better client retention or to brand advocates who like sing your praises and refer you to people. Okay. So, the point and the intention of your
marketing strategy should be first in your mind all the time, right? Like, what do you want people to say about you behind your back when it comes to your business? And is your social media currently supporting that? What's your mission statement? And are you furthering that mission with your social media? If you're not, it's cool, but it's really hard to hit what you can't see. So take a couple of minutes and jot down your answers to these questions. What are your business goals? What's the point of your marketing strategy, right? So if you're just like, okay, I'm a business, I have to have a marketing strategy, and you're just like hucking out radio ads that say your address over and over again, be like, hey, you can find us here. What's the point of that? What's your intention? What's your mission statement? What are your goals? All right, take a minute. All right, so once you've figured out your goals, your intention, the feeling that you want people to experience when they take a look at your Instagram feed or listen to your podcast or watch your videos. So the next step is to translate that into something that's called content marketing. And now, if you're an online business person, you've probably heard the term content marketing a lot. But if you're offline, this might be a bit of a new term for you. So I want to just give you a brief rundown. Content marketing is a business creating usually free written video, visual, audio content. So a post that provides your audience with some sort of value. Value can be a lot of things. It doesn't have to be like some highbrow thing. It can entertain, inform, inspire, motivate, educate, challenge, or simply allow them to get to know you. All right. So that's a little rundown on content marketing. Now, I know that you're probably thinking, I'm too busy to create content. But really, there's no excuse not to create content. It doesn't have to take a really long time. It doesn't have to. There's so many tools. I'll do maybe a separate episode on some of the tools that I use to create content in my business. But you have a magic phone in your pocket. You're probably listening to this podcast on your phone right now. And with that phone, you can document the experience of working where you work, of working with the people you work with. If you have a store, your online audience should know your store. If you decorate it for a holiday or a local event, that's really easy content to put out there in the world. If it takes you more than a minute, I will eat my hat. I'm not wearing a hat, but it won't take you more than a couple of minutes. If you have a staff, your audience should know your staff. In fact, I'm a really big advocate of letting your staff be an editor on all of your social platforms, to be totally honest with you, and having them documenting throughout their day. If you think that you're, honestly, if you think that your staff is not on their socials, on their phone throughout the day, you're probably being a bit naive about that. So they might as well be on social media promoting your brand. Maybe you want to have some guidelines for that. That remains to be seen, in my opinion, because if you can't trust your staff to advocate ethically for your brand, why are they working for you? But nonetheless, maybe you have some standards and guidelines that you want to put up there. But if your staff throws birthday parties or does karaoke in the lunchroom or pulls pranks or dresses up in costumes or does nonprofit work or travels, document all of that. You don't have to reinvent the wheel here. Let your audience know who you and your people are.
Before we move on to the next step in the process, I want to talk about the wall of professionalism. Now, I'm sure there are those of you out there thinking, I can't possibly create this kind of content because I have a professional designation to uphold. And I want to talk a little bit about professionalism for a hot second, because professionalism is a wall between you and your clients. And if they think, honestly, I think that that paradigm of the suit and tie and of, you know, keeping at arm's length all of your people, your audience, your clients. I think it's kind of dead, to be honest with you. Obviously, there are going to be some guidelines. You know, if you're a lawyer, there's going to be certain things that you can't share. I'm not talking about violating your professional ethics. I'm talking about keeping people at arm's length so that they don't see you as a human. I think that that has expired, to be totally honest with you. And that actually is going to take us to the next step in the process, which is, who are you talking to anyway? So who are you talking to in your content marketing? If I was to ask you who your ideal clients are, your ideal customers are, especially if you'd never been asked that question before, your answer would probably be anybody who pays me. But if you're honest and narrowed it down a little bit, that's likely not entirely true. I want you to ask yourself, who am I for? And perhaps more importantly, who am I not for? The more you can be specific about who you want to work with and gear your content towards surprising and delighting them, the more you will have a wider appeal, even though I know that sounds counterintuitive. Remember the old adage, if you're trying to talk to everybody, you're probably talking to nobody. So next in the process, we want to ask ourselves the question. So you figured out your goals. You know what your mission and your intent are. Now, your job. Once you figured out who you're talking to and how you want them to feel, maybe you've created a little video or a post, taken a photo. You've ditched out on all of your excuses to not have time. You have this piece of content, all right? So what I want you to ask yourself before you hit that post button is this social? Now, what I mean for that, another way to say that is something that Gary Vaynerchuk calls native content, which I take to mean content that looks, sounds, and feels like it belongs on the platform you're using. This needs to go for every single piece of content that you release out into the world. So we've all seen people who are like trying out Facebook advertising, for example, and you can just so tell that it's an ad. There's none of them, there's none of their business actually in the ad. It kind of just like breaks up your feed and is maybe a little bit annoying. Maybe it like pops up when you're on their website reading a blog post. And you're just, it kind of is the way I think of content that is counter to this idea that we're going for is, would it make you navigate away? All right. For whatever reason, every single one of us hates to be cold called or sold to with the strong sell. We hate our newsfeed being interrupted by unthoughtful, unvaluable, spammy content. And yet that's what we think of when we think of advertising. So I want you to change the way that you think about advertising and about marketing and think about it like, would my eyes gloss right over this? Or might I stop? Might I give my attention to this? Is this interesting enough? Is this native enough to the platform that I'm releasing it to that people will be interested? Okay, so I use this example. My real estate agent, whom I've worked with for nearly a decade, great, great person. I heard this person on the radio recently, on a local radio station. And yes, native content, this goes for your newspaper marketing, your radio marketing, right? So if I hear an obnoxious radio ad when I'm driving my kid to soccer practice, I'm turning the radio off or I'm changing to another station. You just pissed away your ad dollars, right? But this particular radio ad that my realtor had created was a story. It was a story. And I could feel that it was furthering this person's business goals to allow people to get to know this person better. I later complimented them on this creation and they gave their spouse credit for it, which I thought was super awesome. But letting people know, letting people in. Okay, so it was an interesting enough story that I stayed on an ad for however long it was, 30, 45 seconds, whatever it was. And I didn't navigate away. Okay, so when you're creating whatever kind of marketing content, if it's obnoxious, if it's spammy, if it looks super ad-y, if it sells and asks for more than it's willing to give, if your eyes would gloss over it, if you would scroll past it, it's probably not hitting its mark. So go back to all of your social content and don't use this as an excuse to beat yourself up or be like, oh, I suck at this. Use it as an opportunity to go deeper, especially if you are in one of these industries that I've been talking about. Like if you're a mortgage broker, honestly, like right now I'm shopping for a mortgage and I'm not scrolling through your LinkedIn feed reading articles about interest rates that you shared from a larger corporation. But, and I mean, I have a mortgage broker and I work with this person because I like them. Because when we go to their office, we have a laugh. So what I really, really want you to focus on is not, I mean, maybe you're having an event that you want to promote. That's cool. Like, you know, that's cool. It's going to look like an event promotion on Facebook, for example. But what's most important is that your content get people's attention and connect with them for a moment. I'm going to talk a little bit about engagement in the next segment. All right, so I'm going to talk about engagement here for a hot second. And I just want you to know, and I can't overemphasize this, engagement equals money. Engagement equals revenue. All right? If you think about yourself with your phone, clicking around, busy all day, going from emails to Instagram to Facebook to Twitter, whatever, right? If you stop and engage with a piece of content, in my opinion, that is the first level of purchase, right? It's very, very unlikely for me that I'm going to go to a new service provider or purchase something new without having first engaged with the business. It's very, very unlikely. I mean, of course, that there are people, businesses, services in my life that have been in my life since before this was a thing. But in terms of new people coming into my life, new businesses coming into my life, it's very, very unlikely that I'm going to buy something without searching you out on socials first. So what do I mean when I say engagement? I'm talking likes, comments, and shares. Shares are the queen of all. Shares are the shit. If someone has taken the time to share your post, your blog, your video with her audience, she is already advocating for your brand. She is your hero. Thank her. It's such a little thing. So how do you get engagement? Well, firstly, you need to show up a lot. Consistency is super important. You create great content based on your goals and your ideal clients. And then you show up a lot. How much is a lot? As much as you possibly can, to be totally honest with you. I've grown my Instagram without spending a single ad dollar about 900% of like a good audience. It's not like a huge viral influencer audience, but micro influencer is a thing. It's happening, right? If you look at those people on Instagram with tens of thousands of followers, but you got to ask yourself how many people are actually engaging with their content. How many people are actually buying things from them? But I did that by showing up usually about 3 times a day. This was pre-Instagram stories. I was showing up and posting about 3 times a day. And not posting like crap, posting real shit. All right? So how do you get engagement? Firstly, you show up consistently. Secondly, ask. Ask questions. Ask what they're doing. Ask if they can relate. Ask if they have a similar experience. Ask them questions in your caption. And then respond to every comment. Respond. It drives me bonkers to see large accounts that ask you to tag your friend in their status and then never even come back around to say thank you. It's such a small thing. It makes a difference in people's lives. It does. It makes people feel good to know that a brand cares enough to come back to their complaint and try to make it right, which is not to say that you need to burn yourself out. But in the beginning, it's probably not going to be so many that you're going to be burnt out. Respond. In the beginning, respond to everything. Even if you can tell that it's a bot, even if it's like, this content is awesome, respond. The more comments you have, the more Facebook and Instagram's algorithms will prioritize your content so that more people see it. Respond to everything. Show that you care. This matters. In long game content marketing, caring matters. I want to tell you really quickly about my friend Erin. Erin owns a bookshop here in Cranbrook called Lotus Books. And about a year ago, maybe about 18 months ago, she and I started hanging out and talking about business, which is one of our favorite topics after books and cheese and gin. And we were talking about how to be creative with her business development. And I think at the time, in just kind of like an offhanded way, I suggested that she try Facebook Live. Facebook Live is still a high, high priority for Facebook's algorithm. It's live streaming video. It's TV. It's the new TV. And we were talking about what she might post on Facebook Live. At the time, I think I was mostly doing card readings and some coaching on Facebook Live, but I had certainly noticed that I'd gained a lot of traction with it. And we sort of mutually came up with the idea that she has this wealth of topics in that she owns a bookstore. And so she started doing Friday Story Hour. You can find her on Facebook at Lotus Books. And she has the most beautiful voice. You will want her to read every book to you, I promise. So I asked Erin if I could talk about this business development that we did for her in this podcast. And she said, of course. And I asked her if this long game approach to marketing has reflected in her revenue. And she said, probably. She said, I'm not sure how to measure that directly, but there's certainly more brand awareness out there. She's told me before about people coming in off the street and saying, oh, I loved the story you read, and sometimes even buying that specific book. She said her sales were up in the last fiscal year. And I just really wanted you to know that there was a real businesswoman out there who is creating real benefit to her community and her business by using this method. It's not my method, but I think that it's a method that isn't necessarily being geared towards women in business. She's also found that this new social approach has helped her to build relationships with other local businesses, and they build one another up for mutual wins. Really, this is a tool for connection. This is a tool for you to have access to your clients and potential clients like you've never had before. This is a gift, and I really hope that you'll use it. Okay, so chances are I've given you some food for thought today. Chances are I've talked a lot in your ear today, and you've got some action steps to go forward from. What I really want you to do next is to find me literally anywhere. I'm everywhere on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook. Instagram, I'm Erin Joyce McDonald. Facebook, I think I'm Clumsy Grace, or Erin McDonald Clumsy Grace. You can comment on this podcast on any of the platforms that you're watching it on. You can email my team at info@clumsygrace.com. I want to hear from you. I want to hear how you're using this. I want to hear how it's working for you. I want to hear your challenges. I want you to argue with me. I want us to have conversations about this. Because really my goal here, my intention is for your business to flourish, is for you to know that you have a place here, that you don't need to spend $10,000 a month on Google AdWords to bump yourself in a search engine. What I want you to know is that your voice matters in this business landscape, that your clients and potential clients, they just want to know you.
They want to see you on that hike. They want to see you shopping at another local business. That works for everybody. It's good for everybody. They want to see the charity work that you're doing. They want to see you playing in the park with your kids. Okay? So you don't have to be super oversharer like I am. You don't have to share stuff that you're not comfortable with. If you don't feel like you feel good on video, you can do audio. There are a million platforms for you to be yourself and drive traffic, even if it's foot traffic, to your business, to create loyal customers. This is really your moment. It really, really is. I can almost guarantee that, especially if you're in a small town, most other businesses are not doing it this way. Most other businesses are not showing up, sharing authentically, using what they have, including their staff, including content. There's a lot more gold out there than you're currently using. And the really cool thing is that all it's going to take is some time and dedication and some caring. And you're already doing that. So I really want to thank you for joining me for this first episode. There will be more to come. I do want to hear from you. I do want this to be a dialogue. I'm going to pull some interviews on. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I love you lots. Take good care.